This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Consolidation has been taking place in various sectors of the ag industry for years now. The reasons for consolidation are varied, but the result is always the same: fewer farms that are larger in size. The changes that consolidation brings to agriculture start on the farm. Family Farms Group is a network of farmers and ag industry experts headquartered in Brighton that was created to help farms traverse the era of consolidation, according to Manager of Business Development for Family Farms Group, Dave Bryden.
If an organization is not changing as fast on the inside as the industry is changing on the outside, the end is in sight. And so we want to help the family farm operations that are members of our group to deal with those change issues and make sure and provide opportunities for children and grandchildren to continue in farming if they choose. That's our full purpose. It's keeping families on the farm.
Consolidation is not happening out of nowhere. Bryden says there are many red flags that have signaled the coming of this change.
First is age, the average age of producers, and this is information that comes from the USDA Ag Census. The average age of the producer is going up rapidly. It went up from 55 to 57, and it's even going up beyond that. There are fewer young people coming back into farming, so that will lead to consolidation. The advance of technology, whether that be equipment, genetics, chemicals, fertilizers, so forth, it just allows people to be able to farm more acres. And then economics is certainly a big factor as well. And so when you put all those things together, it just leads to more and more consolidation.
While farms consolidate, Bryden says one of the most important things the management of the farm should do is the opposite.
A smaller operation, it's usually one person who is really doing everything. And as an operation grows, there are opportunities then to specialize, and somebody can focus on particular things. If that's operations, great. If it's finance, great. If it's the crop marketing and dealing with landowners, wonderful. If it's some of the other administrative types of things, you know, that's okay too. We look for ways that maybe we can split and divide and conquer, so to speak, and let people focus on the things that they like to do, that they want to do, and that they're good at, and then find someone else that's another family member, or maybe it's even a hired person that is good and likes the other things that they don't like to do. So that way, everyone's doing something that they like, that they're good at, and then that leads to further and greater success of the operation overall.
Although every farm that is a member of Family Farms Group is different and has unique needs and challenges, Bryden says that there are a couple difficulties that are common amongst most farms as consolidation takes place.
Their management issues, maybe as their farm has grown, they've kind of hit what we call a glass ceiling, where they seem to hit a point where they just can't seem to do anymore. And so we help them break through those glass ceilings and through training and different skill development and so forth. And so we want to try to help them bring a little bit more of a business sense to the operation. And we provide a number of ways in which we do that. HR, as people are hiring employees, because unfortunately there are many kids that are not coming back to the farm. And so then that has led to family farms needing to hire people. And so some of them have never dealt with employees as much as what they are now. And so HR is certainly an issue. And certainly with the volatility in the markets, finance is certainly always going to be a strong thing. So I would say those would be maybe three of the more common issues.
In addition to on-farm challenges and consolidation, Bryden says in the not-so-far-off future, farmers will have to be watching out for other industry trends that could make keeping the family farm a challenge.
I think there's several things there. The first is the regulation. I mean, there's certainly, I don't think there's anybody that thinks there's not going to be more regulation in some way, shape, or form coming our way. So we're going to have to deal with those issues. This notion of trying to compete alone, is this going to be really tough? I think it's going to be very difficult for the small, typical, you know, family farm to remain relevant and competitive if they are just working solely alone. So they're going to need to look at working in conjunction or be part of some other system, as we were talking before. The consolidation is certainly going to continue, and so that will drive competitive forces one way or another as well. And then the things we were talking about before, that longer term, we think it'll come down to three main things of management, practices, what processes you have, and then access to capital.
Farmers seem to be agreeing with Bryden and thinking it will be easier to navigate industry challenges with the support of a network, as demonstrated by the success of Family Farms Group.
We've been very fortunate. We have grown from nothing to over 500,000 acres collectively when you put all of our members together. They're scattered over 19 U.S. states and 4 Canadian provinces, and that's been since 2007. So we must be doing something good in that regard. But as we look at these interesting times that we're going into, while people are going to be even more conscious of their expenses, they're actually going to need some sort of system even more to help guide them through the tough financial times, to be looking at ways that they can achieve efficiencies that maybe they don't have now, and what leverage maybe can they have by working in conjunction with other producers and getting better at just running their farms and running their businesses. And that's what we want to try to help them do. We love our mission of trying to help keep families on the farm.
Again, that was Manager of Business and Development for Family Farms Group, Dave Bryden. That's all for part one of this afternoon's farm show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this. According to the National Osteoporosis Foundation, osteoporosis contributes to about 2 million broken bones per year. I spoke with Joyce Vickery of the St. Louis Dairy Council about this condition and who could be at risk.
You know, osteoporosis basically means porous bones. And what happens is that our bones may become very thin and very brittle. This is oftentimes due to low bone mass or maybe too little bone tissue. And as a result, our bones are weak. They may break from just a minor fall or in some cases, even simple actions like sneezing or bumping into furniture may cause a break.
While the effects of osteoporosis are typically only seen in older people, Vickery says preventing it needs to start at a young age.
Well, it's true that it mainly affects older Americans, usually after age 50 or 60. This is when we typically see it. But the fact is that really we need to be conscious of this, you know, from early on, because it is important that we eat high calcium foods for our entire life. So it's especially important during our childhood years and, of course, up until about age 20. If we eat plenty of calcium, it really packs the calcium into our bones, and that is important for later years. So we need to focus in on osteoporosis our entire life by just making sure that we're eating healthy, we're getting plenty of calcium-rich foods like milk, cheese, or yogurt, and then also that we're being physically active. And this can help prevent osteoporosis in later years.
While many people have heard calcium helps build strong bones, fewer know that vitamin D can be equally as important.
Vitamin D is important because it actually helps our body use the calcium that we give it. So it helps calcium get into our bones and teeth. And, of course, when we drink a glass of milk, the great thing we know is that not only is there calcium present, but it also has the vitamin D. So what you need in your diet is right there in that glass of milk and will help you have strong bones for life.
Vickery says many people who have osteoporosis may not even know about it until something adverse happens.
You know, the strange thing about this disease is many times you don't know it. You can't feel it. And over time, your bones just become very thin and brittle. Oftentimes, the first diagnosis for this is when somebody breaks a bone. You'll hear about somebody maybe falling and a bone breaks, and then when they look at bone density for that individual, they find that they do have osteoporosis. So I think that it's often called the silent disease because you really may not know that you have it.
To decrease the risk of being surprised by this disease later in life, Vickery says there are some preventative measures people can take.
Sure, there are lots of things we can do. The major thing, as I said, is probably diet. There are some risk factors that are associated with osteoporosis, and some of those are factors that we cannot change. So, for example, being over age 50, being female, you're more at risk. If there's a family history, or if you have a low body weight, if you're small or thin, you can't control that. That is basically hereditary. However, there are controllable risk factors, and as we mentioned, making sure that we eat a healthy diet, making sure we get calcium and vitamin D from dairy foods, having an active lifestyle, making sure that we're involved in some type of physical activity, even something as simple as walking is something that is very beneficial. And then there are other things we can avoid, so things like smoking, like drinking too much alcohol. These seem to play a role in thinning, having thinning bone mass. So it's important to make sure that you're living a healthy lifestyle.
When looking to decrease the odds of osteoporosis, Fikri says it's important to note that not all dairy products are created equal.
For dairy products, we primarily focus on milk, cheese, and yogurt because they provide the most calcium per serving. So that's really where the focus is. There are many more dairy foods, for example, cottage cheese. Love cottage cheese. It's a great source of protein. But because of the way it is processed, it actually loses some of the calcium. So it's not the best option if you're searching for calcium, but great if you're trying to boost your protein content in your diet, and cottage cheese is the way to go. But remember to focus in on the three key ones, and that's milk, yogurt, and cheese for calcium and vitamin D.
Again, that was Joyce Fikri with the St. Louis Dairy Council. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.